woke up this morning with the sun down shining in him.
Oh. Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in him.
More North Bay Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Alley, Mr. Brendan Cornan. Jack Silverman on the board. S&P futures down 7.25. Dow futures down 52. NASDAQ futures down 31. Oil up 55 cents. We got the Fed meeting starting today. The announcement tomorrow. A lot of stuff going on. We got Capital One data breach exposes tens of thousands of Social Security numbers. Brennan, what do you think somebody does with a Social Security number? How valuable do you think they are?
Well, you know, there's a lot more information out there, including I think it's pretty common that at least the last four digits of a lot of people's Social Security numbers are more available now.
Yep.
So I don't know that it's quite the same thing that it was a while ago. It just seems like there's much more information available anywhere. But still, it is disconcerting because that can get you into things like driver's licenses in various states and a lot more information that can be used. And, you know, of course, given the recent things that have been going on in Washington, it makes you wonder what's going to happen or could potentially happen with that information for voting in the 2020 election.
Why do you say that? Just
Well, I think that it,
something I didn't think about.
It would be something to connect folks voting when they go, especially if they're doing any online voting or early registration voting. You know, how do you really know who it is that's voting? Potentially accessing again.
If they're voting your way, do you care?
Well, yeah, because it's not really my vote.
Oh, well,
how do I know? How do I know?
You're showing that South Side thing. It's, you know, you do care. Even if it's wrong, even if it's voting for you, there's people that will throw a baby off a bridge for a vote that would be...
Well, yeah, but I mean, consider that if I know that you and Manny and Jack and myself are all going to vote for candidate X, and I said, well, here, I'll save you the time. I'll vote for you. Well, you're all going to vote the same way, so just that I'm saving you the time of going into the ballot box and pulling the lever.
Well, I mean, I honestly don't... Reason why I ask the questions because I honestly don't know as to what some. I mean, I think to a certain extent, virtually everybody's Social Security has gotten out there at some point or another.
Well, I agree. That was my opening point. That I think that right now there's so much information out there, and we use things like Social Security numbers a lot, at least the last four digits. That maybe that's enough to still violate the privacy of folks out there.
Well, I've had people close to me that have had issues. Exactly, one of my family members had issues when Costco went from American Express to Citigroup.
Mm-hmm.
All his stuff got, and of course, Costco, American Express never owned up to any of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all of a sudden he was getting, he'd get a letter saying, "By the way, we just shipped a new credit card in your name to like Florida," and they had, you know, social and everything, and. Where the address in Florida came from, you know, that I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it pretty much all got caught. You know, and if it didn't, I don't know if somebody would try and say he was liable for that.
The vendors would say that he's liable for that.
Well, my concern, and you know, you've heard me opine on this before, is I don't think that our law enforcement is doing jack bleep about any of this stuff. They've pushed all the law enforcement essentially onto the credit card people, the banks, and the securities firms.
Mm-hmm.
which I don't think is necessarily the role of law enforcement to tell you that they're not doing it anymore.
Well, you know, true. I mean, I think law enforcement should get involved, but they do need the help of the vendors, the credit card companies or the Equifax group to find out more about the information and trying to find out where the breach happened in order to
follow
up on it.
I'm not saying that they should, that they, you're not supposed to help them. I'm saying is that, you know, when you have your car stolen, obviously the more information the person can give, the better chance you are of them finding whoever stole your car.
Mm-hmm.
But if they show up and say they're going to start fining you for not locking your car up and wasting their time, well, that's a problem.
Well, yeah, that is a problem.
And I'm going to say right now, I don't think any bank even thinks to call police.
Mm-hmm.
Or anybody like that. Okay. I mean, and if you ask them, they'll say, I mean, Matty Weber, we had this interesting discussion. He was out of one of his, those that don't know, Matty's real job is he does, works for a firm after he's pretty high up the firm, which isn't surprising, and they do credit card security. So if anybody, if you go to, say, to the Tripoli Tap, and they still have the old thing where the reader is hooked into to the copper phone line,
mm-hmm.
That's pretty much idiot proof. You know, there's nobody can really hack that.
Yeah.
Plus, what would it be worth hacking the Tripoli thing anyway? But if you are Ceres.
Well, they could get your riches and all of your millions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you go to Ceres, and all the credit cards are done by computer, you better have some sort of, you better have procedures, you better have people who know how to work the system, you better have all kinds of checks and balances in there. And that's where his firm kind of comes in. So he says to me, we had a great speech by some guy from the Secret Service. And I said, well, gee, that's interesting. What did he talk about? He talked about how all this stuff is happening and they just don't have the budget, they just don't have this, they just don't have that. And I said, well, that's interesting. Why didn't they get this guy's ass back in the office and work instead of telling you people how he couldn't work? there's one guy right there we could use it. You know, woman, what is? It's amazing how much. And then you question that, and people almost think you're like not a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? The guy's like, no, the guy's job is to do this, not to fly around on our dime to tell you how we didn't give him enough money to do his job. Right? I mean, how many policemen now will tell you they can't stop anybody because it's. Sergeant doesn't want them to. You got to fill out a form,
mm-hmm.
or you know, they're afraid of getting sued.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't go to work, but don't get paid and tell me how you can't do your job. I mean, just anyway, just but I, you know, I just wonder what, because you would need more than that. You know, it's funny how I put myself right on the top of the Dumbo list, because Kevin when he comes on, because Kevin obviously is very good at this, between this for Better World books and banks and everything else. He goes, why are people so stupid as to put their mother's real maiden name down? Why would you ever do that? And I've always put my mother's real maiden name down. And then
it's easier to remember.
Well, but I mean, why, if anybody were to compromise you and actually find out what your, get a birth certificate or something,
mm-hmm.
why would you ever give the right name? Why would you ever give the right name of the high school you went to when everybody could find it out?
Well, no, I understand your point, but the answer to that is being truthful.
Well, but I'm saying, most people, me included, don't think to lie on a daily basis.
No, I don't either.
Unless you're president or something like that.
Yeah.
But
if you ask me, you know, for a security reason like that, if I make up a different name for my mother, will I remember that? You know, will I remember that it's... somebody else besides my mother, and when I'm asked the question,
I mean, if you use your mother's middle name, who's going to know?
That's true. You could do that, but I mean, the answer to your question is: why would you give your real high school? Why would you give your real mother's name, your mother's real name? It's because you don't want to lie about it. I mean, it's easier to remember the truth.
But who are you lying to? You're well, that's the truth. But who are you lying to? It's your own security thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand your point.
Your name of your first pet. Why don't I put Bowser down instead of his real name? Who's
mm-hmm.
going to figure that out?
Mm-hmm.
I'll put Matty down, you know, my first pet.
Okay, so, but if you do that instinctively, when somebody asks you the question now, 2 years from now, when you're trying to get back into your security because you forgot your password and you're locked out, will you remember that you said it was Matty and not Bowser?
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is people like Kevin will tell you that It's not just the Social Security number. It's all the other stuff that goes with it.
Oh, yeah. I know. I understand his point.
And so the point is, why would you ever...
Why would you ever be truthful on that? And but and you're right. I mean, that's why you come up with creative ways to have passwords. So that instead of saying something like Chicago, you have a capital C, and then you have some letters like an ampersand or something else in there instead of a letter spelling out the word Chicago. So that it's a little bit different.
Well, I'm only you know, basically bitching at myself here. I mean, I'm on a podcast. I'm on the air. Everybody knows I went to Notre Dame, and I'm dumb enough that on some of my security things, they'll say, what city did you go to school in? I put South Bend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how stupid is that? And
mm-hmm.
it's me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I should put, you know, where Spokane, like I went to where Gonzaga or someplace.
Mm-hmm. I get to see you as a Zag.
I was in Spokane once to give a lecture. Mm-hmm. It was one of the most interesting things I ever did. And I was with these guys who were... somewhat characters, so I was given it was their seminar, not mine. When you're in a securities business, you can never give a seminar because you can never advertise it, right?
Mm-hmm.
These other guys are going to advertise, you know, double your money overnight and stuff. First of all, we wouldn't do that anyway, but that's what you're competing against. So if you just say, you know, protect an index program, or we'll teach you options from square one, how to protect, how to do covered rights, basic stuff that you can pass out.
Mm-hmm.
Things from exchanges that have all been, you know, vetted and everything else. I mean, basically, nobody wants to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to hear, just tell me what to buy, what to sell, and what to do overnight and so forth. I mean, so you really can't. So what we would do is if somebody was giving a seminar, we would show up without any affiliation to those people and maybe do something on how to put orders in or how to do something, you know, something to let people know more about the industry or how stuff actually trades,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. So it was
mm-hmm.
never... You know, we were never into that. No, come with me. I'll double your money by Friday. First of all, you can't do that. So by Friday, you got a rough time. You're telling people why you promised it and you didn't. So the trick is, you just like I say, just tell the truth. So, of course, like half the
see,
people.
See, there you are again,
yeah,
telling the truth. You're right back to telling the truth.
Right back to telling. That's a South Side thing. I mean, we know that. It's a serious flaw, I think, half the time. So, of course, a bunch of guys show up in the coveralls, the big hay faces. And I'm like, where did these guys come from? So we eat at the restaurant has a nice little bar. So I've got a nice hamburger one. So next night, the guys from the seminar go, oh, come on, we got this place down the block where all you can eat, like, pizza. And I go, I don't know, all you can eat. Ah, come on. Well, I'm there in business with these two idiots. So we go down there, and, of course, it's like everybody from Gonzaga's in there. We're the only people that have any kind of age. And we have this dinner. God, I could eat pretty much anything, Brennan, and I got the cast iron stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was in that pizza, but it was bad. I'm like, what am I doing eating 5 hours all you can eat pizza with a bunch of college kids? I mean, what are we doing here? But anyway, it did not end well, shall we say, but I met a lot of nice people. I mean, it's an interesting little town. It's a nice little downtown. It's like a college downtown. There's nothing really downtown other than Gonzaga. Gonzaga is right in the downtown area.
Hmm.
So, but
I've never been there, so I don't know that.
And, you know, it's nice. I mean, I could see going there for school. I mean,
mm-hmm.
But you know, it's probably like a
good Jesuit university.
Yeah, well, it's probably like, you know, it's like Champaign, only maybe a little bigger. I don't know. You know, I can't really tell. Remember the airport being way the hell out, and was world's. I mean, literally, there wasn't a light from downtown because my flight was at 6. Of course, it was dead of winter, so it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. just saying, but you know, I think you need all the other stuff with it. The point is, you never hear of anybody caught.
Right.
You know, and then it's, oh, God, guys are already all from Europe. Well, did you look? Are you sure they're from Europe? Oh, no, but they're all from Europe. So you didn't really look. No, you know. I just, you know, as we go forward, I do a lot of research on history as much as I can. I think we're just saddled with people not doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
In virtually every brand of government.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Democrats, which I've now morphed from into the middle, I don't know where I am though. I'm a man in search of a party, I guess. But I don't see they're going to pull outside government, but government doesn't do anything well. Or very rarely they do anything well. I mean, they don't police very well. They don't. I mean, the traffic is horrendous. People
mm-hmm.
do whatever they feel like in traffic. There's people wandering around at night shooting people. I mean, whatever they do, I mean, name what they do decently. I mean, they allow people to steal, like they're going right and left, like this new what's the yards the place with the zoning and everything. If you were to
Lincoln Yards,
yeah, if anybody were to put a whole book together of zoning change here and this there and how much this guy paid for this, and a year later how much this guy paid that and how much it's worth now. If you did a thing like that, you know, there'd be a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I mean, so the Democrats keep wanting to give people, you know, the government more and more power, and for what?
Mm-hmm.
What do they do right?
Attempt to keep things under control.
Attempt, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but I mean, all they seem to do is give themselves pensions.
Well, I do agree that there's a big problem with, and I'm not trying to defend the government here in any way, but you know, the what you just pointed out too is a really big problem: the self-dealing in government.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're seeing that come into fruition now with the ethics ordinance in Chicago, that finally somebody got enough courage and the ability for the alderman to say, yeah, we shouldn't have outside business dealings that directly conflict with what we're doing in the city of Chicago.
Well, that's, you know, that's an issue. We talked a little... You know, when I say this, first of all, when I talk about the government, I'm not talking about... I'm going to say 90-95% of all government employees do exactly what they're supposed to do. When you get on a CTA bus, the guy or the lady who's the bus driver is... 99% of the time, very pleasant, gets you where you want to go, knows how to drive, it doesn't bang in anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people that drive the L trains, they're going to do a nice job. The people pick up the garbage, but I'm saying they're not what I consider to be, you know, they're just regular run-of-the-mill people like us doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
It's once you get above that, it's all about what can I get? What's in it for me? And I just think we got to the point where we can't handle it.
Well, unfortunately, those are also the decision makers who can direct policy, direct money here and there. And this is true at all levels, from the city to the state to the county to the federal government, that the higher up you go, the more the system can be manipulated.
Well, the eerie part is that people in different parties seem to think that the other party is more guilty of it than theirs.
Oh, sure. It's always the other guy.
And the fact is, it's really not. I mean, the Democrats kowtow to the people that essentially are in the government,
mm-hmm.
where the other people, the Republicans, kowtow to the big companies that are that are basically sucking the government dry.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no difference.
No, I mean, there's not. In fact, there's a columnist here in Chicago who refers to that the Democratic and the Republican is as the combine,
right?
That has for years worked, regardless of who is in the governor, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, has worked against the people and for their own benefit to allow a lot of things to happen over the years. And I agree that it's not one party or the other. And I don't think it's true that in Washington either that you can say it's one party or the other that's causing all the problems.
But as long as we keep the brush fire going and everybody fighting back and forth, they make incredible progress.
Well, sure. They make incredible progress by not doing anything. the stalemate a lot of times, is, you know, perpetuates the system.
Well, every once in a while you get a flash. You know, remember that was the, that was a big line in Notre Dame when somebody would come in and say, well, geez, you see, like the sun comes up in the morning, and somebody'd say, "Hey, thanks for the flash, Gordon."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a trite line, but I was watching this special on Nazis and drugs the other day, and you know what, Brendan? Once in a while, you get one of those moments where, like, Belushi saw the light when the Penguin was smacking him down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard that the biggest maker of oxycodone in Germany during the war was Merck, and they're still making it, and mm-hmm. they still are, and somehow, like Lou says yesterday, those companies managed to meander. They were powerful enough to wind their way through Europe, through that chaos, land other places, become just as big somewhere else. It is astounding how we can't do something about that. How
mm-hmm.
you know, yesterday they were talking about Pfizer and Novartis, all the drugs that are just off patent are now being dropped at Novartis. Novartis is picking people up and making sure they're still not competitive.
Yeah.
You know, one of these days, are we ever going to have somebody with the stones in government, or the stones in the Oval Office, to put somebody in charge of the antitrust division that actually prosecutes somebody from the Sherman Act and actually sees it as a felony and puts people in jail with treble damages and puts some of these places out of business?
Mm-hmm.
Are we ever going to do that ever in our lifetime? I'm thinking no.
You know, last week when Jeff was here in the last hour, he talked about a book called The Myth of Capitalism.
Yeah.
I read it. I read it over the weekend. It is a fascinating book, and that's one of the topics that it talks about. And really, I thought you could have written part of the book because of things that you said on this on the show and how things are worked and how this guy, John Tepper, has, you know.
Where did you get that? I looked for it. I couldn't find it.
I went on Amazon.
I tried to use the... I used it for someone. I must have been spelling the guy's name wrong or something.
Well, no. When Jeff was here, he talked about it as monopoly capitalism.
Right. That's what I looked up. I couldn't find it.
There's a couple of old books.
That's what came
that
up.
That are by that name. But then I went back and listened to the podcast, and he said John Tepper's book.
Okay.
So I plugged in John Tepper, and it popped up as The Myth of Capitalism. There is a reference either on the book jacket or inside about monopoly capitalism. That was confusing, because I was confused too when I looked it up. I thought, gee, these seem like old books, and I don't know that these are.
That's where I stopped looking, when I looked like they were all from like 50 years ago.
Well, see, that's the problem. You just stop looking.
Yeah,
that's the problem. How many people just, when it gets a little bit too difficult, they don't want to do the research?
That would be me, you know.
Okay.
Well, I'm not the internet savvy dude like you are.
But I read the book, and it's fascinating.
You know what? What you should have done?
What?
With your eye toward history? I'll bet the books, the Monopoly Capitalism, I bet if we read those for 50 years ago, it would seem like we're reading something for today.
I think you're right. I didn't have a chance to, I did not take the time to look into those more thoroughly or to order either one of those.
Well, you know what, I keep saying I'm going to do, and I don't, because I got so darn many books now, but somehow or another, the sovereign state of ITT got destroyed in a flood at my parents' place. So, but I want to buy that again because, I mean, you know, I get on paperback for next to nothing. I just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
ITT was allegedly the first conglomerate. I'm sure somebody would point to something before that. Obviously, the railroads were conglomerates, and, you know, Jay Gould was a big conglomerate guy. Was he like the ultimate early industrial sleazebag? I mean, he basically put railroads together and bankrupted one.
Well, you got a few.
You got a few.
You look at even people like J.P. Morgan and Cornelius Vanderbilt, and a lot of the robber barons in that time. They were not good guys.
No, but you know, I have a. I won't say I have somewhat of a soft spot for those guys because it actually was their dime.
Mm-hmm.
Which is totally different to me.
It was at a certain point. I mean,
right.
When they started, they did invest, but then they gamed the system a lot.
Well, sure. But I mean, but you compare those guys to, like, you know, the Pfizer gets one Viagra and then just buys up everybody else's stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, to me, it's this whole management class, mm-hmm. where the, you know, whoever runs Commonwealth Edison or People's Gas thinks he's worth, you know, $90 billion a year. I mean,
yeah.
To do what?
You didn't invent electric.
You're not Edison. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's, you know, the weird part is it people still talk. I mean, that's why I love doing the show. People still talk as if, you know, there'll be guys on CNBC, brilliant young guys, although they seem to be clouded in what they think. They'll say, it's all for the shareholders, it's for the shareholder ones. You think they care about shareholders? You think the guys who run Citigroup care about the shareholders?
No, not at all.
They're people you never even met, for mm-hmm. God's sake. Unless, but they care about the share price, if there's
right, because
their
the
stock
share
options.
Price, the share price goes to their stock option. It goes to their compensation. If I can show that the share price increases, or if I can show an increase in the bottom line for this quarter, regardless of how I do it, but if I show an increase in this quarter or this calendar year, this fiscal year, then my compensation will go up greatly.
I was reading some stuff last night as I got back from my. This is one of those things where my buddies from Notre Dame are mostly all retired. So, of course, last night, hey, let's have a party on, like, Monday night. I'm like, okay. Why would we have a party on a Monday night if you're all working? Oh, we're not working. All right, well, I guess I'll go. But, no, I had a good time. And the stuff that you see, where this ends up, what you were just talking about, Brennan, you know how much share buybacks, instead of paying dividends, you know how much share buybacks are going to cost this year?
I don't know. I'm trillions of dollars.
Well, $1 trillion, which is a real number.
Mm-hmm.
It says, in funding is coming. This is by Jeff Cox. He's mm-hmm. on CNBC. I like him. Funding is coming from a record drawdown in cash as well as a rise in gross debt and leverage.
Yeah. So why isn't that money being put into R&D? Why is that money being put into investment in the companies?
Why isn't it being paid a dividend to everybody?
Yeah. That was the next thing I was going to say. There are other things you can do besides buying back the shares.
So if you buy a share back, okay, if you've got 100 shares in the company, and I say, I'm going to buy Brennan's 100 shares, and I go on open market and I buy it from you. Now, I know this is somewhat semantics, but as an attorney guy, you're better with the language than me. Why would anybody construe that I was giving money to shareholders? I'm giving money to somebody who no longer wants to be a shareholder.
That's right.
So why does everybody on TV say you're returning money to shareholders when you buy back?
You're absolutely not doing that.
Yeah, you'll hear it 100 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
The big lie is amazing. It's when people say something stupid and all of a sudden it catches fire, does it become truth? But it sure seems like it, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It's not like, you know, we're talking about balance sheets now,
mm-hmm,
that were pretty much strong as hell for a while. Now they're actually getting weaker leading into a recession.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what anybody wants?
Wait. Recession? What are you talking about?
There's
no recession coming.
Yeah,
this is the greatest economy ever.
In the history of ever. But by the way, we better lower interest rates.
And we'll stay
futures now down 975, Dow, which is down 58. Big, we'll come back. We'll tell you all about Beyond the Meat. Not so good this morning. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tomo. Mr. Brendan Cornan. He's Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. Who's Jeff's guy coming in a bit? Jeff Joseph. Everybody's got too many J's, too many J names here. SP Futures, we're taking on a little water, Brendan. We're down 13.50.
That happens on January 1st.
NASDAQ Futures down 57, Dow Futures down 61. We've got Beyond the Meat, down $29. So the straddle was 40, so I guess you could have sold the straddle and made a few bucks, but you had a kind of a sleepless night, but I guess... the straddle is a 20% move, Brennan. I don't think I've ever seen that. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. DAX down 217. That's 1.7%. FTSE up 5. I don't know what's going on there. CAC round down 58, 1%. The FTSE's kind of going off the rails here lately with the new prime minister. When I say that, it's not matched up against other. Now we're having a bounce back, however, over in Asia. Nikkei up 92.4%. Shanghai up 11.4%. Hang Seng up 40.1%. Of course, I think this all happened before Trump jumped out this morning and started talking about how there's not going to be any deal with China because they're not living up to their agriculture.
Wait, I didn't see that. When
just this came morning? Out. It was just a breaking news a couple of minutes ago. Surprised we didn't see it on the TV, but I had it here on my Bloomberg. Where are we? Losing my oil. Up 49 cents, 57.36. It is actually higher this morning. We've been looking at 56 as the number. It's 57.36. Brent up 64 cents, 64.35. We got gold up 770, 14.28, which has got to be about as high as it's been. Silver up 4 cents, 16.48. Copper, 269, not going anywhere. And on the bond side, we've got the 10-year at 2.05, so pretty much stagnant right there. Jack, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
Good morning, everybody. 6:36 a.m. This sports weather traffic is presented by Luckbox Magazine. The Guide to Money and Probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. In traffic, we do have one accident to report. It is on the Stevenson Southport LaGrange Road, and that is causing major traffic both ways on the Stevenson. Traffic building on the Eisenhower and Kennedy. The Edens doesn't look too bad right now, and we have traffic building on the southbound expressways as well. For weather, Chicago is going to be a beautiful day. It's currently 70 degrees, partly cloudy, with a high of 74 and sunshine. In Phoenix, it's 89 and cloudy, with a high of 105 in sunshine. In sports last night, not too much to talk about. Both Chicago teams were off. The Cubs are in St. Louis today for a 7:15 Chicago time first pitch. Yu Darvish takes on the mound tonight. And the White Sox, they are back in Chicago after a road stint. They host the New York Mets at 7:10 Chicago time. The Diamondbacks, however, were on. They wish they didn't because they lost 11-6 to the last place Marlins. And that loss put them below 500.
Plus the Marlins just traded a couple guys. They got like nobody.
Yeah, Marlins are not the best team to lose to.
No. So, both of you gentlemen, Jack was on the air yesterday for quite a bit. He did well. We're talking
good.
About, hey, Joel, how are you?
Good, good. You breaking in Jack, the new guy?
Yeah, man, he's doing a business. Jack's supposed to know where he is, but he's, what is he, Atlanta? Somewhere.
Oh, man, okay.
Well, San Antonio.
Good job there. How you doing?
Somewhere south. We're doing fine. Hey, so maybe you can explain, as Brendan and I are trying to figure out what's wrong with humanity. Can you explain to me, A, how Facebook looks to be, every alligator is jumping at the boat at those guys, and yet their stock's up 50% this year, and they get more and more subscribers. Now this Huawei, that by any stretch, everybody in the world can't wait to take a shot at. They got the guy's daughter in jail in Canada still, don't they? Yet the stock, their revenue is up 23% this year. So does that mean people don't give a rat's behind about governments and what they say, or there's nowhere else to buy this stuff? They manage to become monopolies. What does that tell you?
That was a multifaceted question there, Chief.
Yes.
You want me to comment on humanity all the way to Facebook and corporate earnings?
Well, I'm saying if these guys are in bad shape, as we used to say in college, up Bleep Creek without an oar, how the hell did they grow 23% last year?
When you're referring Huawei or Facebook, referring to there. Huawei?
Yeah.
I mean, when did all the stuff start with them? You know, those statistics may be before the full blown. When did they lock up that lady in Canada?
It has to be.
That's
close to a year.
It's got to be a year.
Close to a year.
Has it been a year?
Yeah.
Don't know. I think I would short that. But
last September. It was way before Christmas.
Way before Christmas. Okay. I guess they have products that you can't get anywhere else.
One of my clients tells me they've got an awful lot of patents on the new faster internet over the air, 4 gig, 5G. Evidently they own a lot of patents on that, according to this guy.
Okay. All right, then that's supposed to be the way. The thing with Facebook, I mean, you're pointing out all the positives about the stock. But I'm looking at a stock here that, you know, looks like you had your earnings run up and your earnings peak. Over $200, now well under $200, traded down two sticks today. So it did have the nice run. They like the added users. The revenue numbers are good. But to me, where's the catalyst to turn this thing back over 200? So
it
had the pre-earnings runs with the market, and I think Facebook's turning lower. I think that Libra thing, I don't know how you can translate to dollars, but the market sure caught wind of that and ran with it.
By the way, Jack says she got pinched in December.
Yeah, you were right on the under on that one, Joel.
You were right on the under. But I was right before Christmas, just not way before Christmas.
I'm rarely wrong about market events and also sporting events, timelines, and things like that.
But whenever you pick a horse, you're usually wrong.
I was subpar this year. But you want to talk a little football? Is it a little bit too early?
What about the Lions?
Never too early for football.
The Lions? They're supposed to have a top-rated defense this year. They picked up, I don't know if it's a good thing when a guy gets cut from another team and you're like, okay, you're the first guy to sign him. A lot of times I think, well, maybe there is a reason they cut him. That's Mike Daniels, but they're stacking the defensive line for Matt Patricia. They picked up C.J. Anderson from St. Louis. They're supposed to have more of a balanced attack. Give Stafford a little bit of time there to, run the ball and pass the ball. I'm a tad skeptical, but I don't know, 8-8, maybe 9-7, 10-6 if things go really well.
They're
in the toughest division. They're in a tough division.
Yeah.
They got to face the Bears twice.
And the Packers.
Exactly. Packers. So there's always optimism here, Chief. I just can't, I do my half-hour schlep from my house downtown, and, oh, my God, all day, every day. Oh, Lions. I mean, I'm sure you guys have it on your airwaves. For college football, I mean, I would like to think that, we could do something and beat Clemson. I just, that quarterback, Lawrence from him, I can't get that guy out of my mind. So I'm my early pick, sticking with the chalk. With Clemson, Michigan, supposedly my sources are telling me they're changing up their offense. They're going to a new, no huddle offense. They're going to really, increase the pace of the game. We're going to be a passing high flying team. And I think that'd be good because our defense showed some cracks at the end of last year.
Joel, do you guys,
as much as they're rated.
Let me ask you a question. Do you guys, When I say you guys, does Michigan, do you have a problem filling out the roster?
I mean, you know, with all the transfers and stuff.
No, I'm saying my buddy, my wacky buddy Beldo. He's like, if I was Royko, he'd be my Slats Grobnik. But he says a lot of schools. I mean, the Irish actually have 85 people on scholarship, which is the max. But for the first time in a while, I mean, it's he goes like Stanford only has like 58 people on scholarship. I mean, they fill it out with walk-ons and stuff, but the depth. And if you were to look at not so much, I mean, if Stanford played Clemson tomorrow, they'd be in the game with them. Okay, they wouldn't win, but if their second strings played, it'd be a joke. Be a joke. Like Alabama uses the part where they send the kids that they have too many people. They send them to the allegedly they're paying for themselves at the junior college across the street and still practicing. What do they call it? Gray shirting. Does Michigan have 85 people raring to go on day one?
Yeah, they do. And, Harbaugh does a lot of red shirting. I mean, I think you have to go more by position. I think we have our depth and offensive line harking back to the days of Bo Schembechler. We got a lot of beef. Very thin at running back with the transfers and the seniors graduating. A little bit thin in the secondary, stacked at quarterback, stacked at wide receiver. I might say this might be one of the best wide receiving cores I've ever seen at the University of Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get all the guys? Yep. Where'd they all come from?
They come from Florida. They got DPJ, Donovan People Jones. He's from Detroit, Florida, Ohio. He's been recruiting hard, and you know we brought in Josh Gattis, right?
Yep.
The former Alabama coordinator, and we're just going to be running. We also got a freshman coming in from Massachusetts who's supposed to have some blazing speed, pretty well stacked at tight end. But the running back and the safety position are, you know, a little bit unnerving for me at this time.
Did you happen to listen to the show on Friday when I had Doug Redmond, the coach from the trading floor, on? What was one of the funniest?
No.
He was an absolute riot when he was an offensive line coach at Purdue. All the stuff that they did that was like right on the edge of, shall we say, the rules. How he decided that he was not going to have guys block with the arms in like he used to have to do. So what they did, they went and played Wisconsin. He had all the offensive linemen wear red gloves matching the jersey color on Wisconsin until the league decided you couldn't do that. They got away with it for like a year, I guess.
Oh yeah, no, I like that. Yeah, kudos to him. They probably still lost the game though, right?
All right. So what do you make of? Did you get the call from the White House? Why aren't you on that list?
You know, it's funny because I come in the morning and, you know, our desk is working hard here and I'm, you know, I check the markets in the middle of the night and it was just like a slow drip last night.
Yep.
You know, it was not, you know, so there wasn't that in the event. So I are seeing the tweet barrage now that there's going to be no deal with China here. So, or no deal that's imminent, but seems to me that's kind of like after the fact, Jack. We just are stalling. When you put 2-3 highs in at the same area as we did from Thursday, Friday, and Monday, you know, the market turns a little bit, and you know, people become step down sellers. So a little bit of a sell off here this morning.
Yep.
S&P is down 13. Important day, important. Yep. For the day recovery. I think another thing that's kind of spooking people a little bit. You know, Amazon got hit after its report, and you know, Amazon. You talk about, yep, Honey Badger stock. A lot of people are probably looking for that to hold the low from, you know, from the earnings day. It didn't. So one of the big guns turns and makes the people a little more cautious. And then, you know, you got to ask.
Well, Joel, we got to go. We'll talk about it next week, buddy. Take care of yourself.
Oh,
S&P futures down 13.50. As if he was down 55. We'll be right back, Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe's Mr. Brendan Cornan, Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. S&P futures now down 14.25. NASDAQ futures down 57. I hear Mr. Kenny Polcaro was in the West Wing and saw the tweet fly through the room, sold futures before it hit, and he's up 10 spoos, and he's happy as a clam.
Wait a minute. I missed the headline that the futures took a dive. What did you say it was?
Trump says that the China's not holding up on the agricultural deal and doesn't think there's going to be a kind of a deal, even though his people are over there as we speak.
Listen, I don't think anybody thought there was going to be a deal during these negotiations, right? They're trying to make it like you know, Mnuchin and Lighthizer went back to China, and oh my God, we're going to get this deal. We're not going to get a deal. We're not close to getting a deal, no matter what they say. They're not going to get a deal. They're going to drag it out, and so you know, this drama will continue. And I think, you know, right ahead of the Fed tomorrow, Trump's saying that now that, you know, China's not living up and blah, blah, blah. Look what happens to the futures and they sell off. And it's going to try to put more pressure on the Fed and Jay Powell to cut 50 versus 25. And, you know, have you heard the word manipulation? I mean, it's frustrating at the very least, if not disgusting, right?
Kenny, from your, by the way, you look marvelous, man. I saw you on TV.
Thank you.
But you're not 25.
No, I'm not.
Just saying. Not that we want to be 25 again, but in your lifetime, have you ever seen anything that's built on a crummy foundation, like, for instance, negative interest rates? If you say to yourself, why would any moron ever give somebody money for 10 years, at the end of 10 years get back less than they... How do you possibly put your whole strategy based on something that makes no sense and then say it's a good thing?
I don't understand. I just don't understand how that works or how that even why people do that. I mean, I just don't get it. I'm at a loss to even explain how that works. Or listen, clearly it doesn't work because there are negative interest rates in Japan, there are negative interest rates in Europe, and all they're saying is that those economies continue to be spin out of control. Again, this morning you got consumer confidence in the Eurozone at a 3-year low, and Mario Draghi comes out last week and said, you know, we're watching, it's getting worse and worse, but we're only watching. And so yet we're the country who, by the way, seems to be the strongest out of everyone, and we're the one cutting rates. It doesn't make sense to me at all. And I think that whole negative rate scenario in Europe and in Japan, that's clearly not working, because those economies, as everyone tells us, continue to get worse and worse. So what are they going to cut rates even more, go more negative? It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, Kenny, I'll remind you, I don't think Italians are dumb enough to do this, but Northern Europe, How many centuries did they bleed people? And if it didn't work, they always said they didn't bleed enough. Remember?
Right.
Well, not remember, but my question to you is, since you, been around New York Stock Exchange, been around a lot, guys higher up the chain than me, these are men of enormous, this is my opinion. Now, feel free to say, Chief, you're all wet as usual. These are men of enormous ego. And what are the chances ever in anybody's lifetime of a guy like Mario Draghi, isn't he a Goldman guy? Which means you got more ego than anybody.
And right.
Come out and say, you know, this policy we've had for the last 7 years, this like really sucks. I don't know why we did this. It's not working. What are the chances of a Yellen, of a Powell, of a Trump, of anybody that, and I'm just saying anybody of egos of that magnitude to admit that they screwed something up and just say we're going the other way?
I don't think they come out and say that, because if they come out and say after all this time that it's not working, they've basically called themselves a fraud or a failure or right, without actually saying it. They're going to come out 10 or 12 years later and go, wow, this isn't working, but yet we've been pushing it for 12 years and telling everyone why it's going to work, and all of a sudden it doesn't work, which means everything we've said and done and talked about isn't true at all. So I don't think you're going to get any of them to say that it doesn't work. In fact, I was quite surprised that Janet Yellen over the weekend came out and supported the rate cut that we're about to get tomorrow, because again, we're pushing on a string. We're going to cut 25 basis points to go from 2.5 to 2.25. For what? What's that really going to do? Is it going to change revolving credit debt? No. Is it going to really change auto loans? No. Is it really going to change the issues that the rest of the world has? I don't think so, but yet that's what they're telling us they need to do to kind of, as an insurance policy against some event that might happen 12 or 18 months in the future. I'm not sure I'm buying that anymore.
Well, I think it does when everybody else, and you don't ever want to go down that road, I don't think, is doing something stupid like these guys are. The part that is an unintended consequence is the dollar.
Yes.
And I honestly, to go from 2.5 to 2.25, I don't have that big of a problem with Kenny, but no lower. I mean, and they need to do something about the fact that credit card rates are actually up since the interest rates have been close to zero. I mean, it has not worked its way down the chain. We've had some people on. I don't know if you listen, but the gentleman from Detroit, Joel, came on for Joel last week before. I said in Detroit, anybody who needs a loan, I don't think they have as many small banks there as we do in Chicago. Because anybody who needs a loan goes on the internet. They go to lend something. There's like 10, because nobody goes to a bank. Now, do you really want the Federal Reserve to have a game where you take the banks out of the system, where they don't have to loan anymore to make money? I mean, that's what they do. That's what, I mean, if you can't give a bank money and you can't get a loan from them, what's the point?
Right.
I mean, it's like having a husband that can't perform and won't take out the garbage. What do you want him for? You know, it's like, what else good are they?
God,
as most women will talk.
My head at the moment.
Most women will say, what good are you? But, they might not say that. But it's, I mean, tell me it isn't the truth. Ask your wife that, for God's sake.
It is the truth. It's the truth.
The, so, you know what I'm saying? These, I mean, you and I, though, Kenny, we've been, we've been short or long 5 days in a row. And all of a sudden, we look in the mirror and say, "Hey, we better get out of the bandwagon here, whichever way it is." So yeah, we hire people that screw up for a decade, and they can't ever say, "You know, maybe we were wrong on this." I mean, come on, saying you're wrong is a sign of strength. That, you know,
I hear you, but they're never going to say they're wrong. And listen, I just want to go back and qualify your statement. I think it's more about the garbage, not being able to take out the garbage.
I mean, that's what guys do. I mean, no matter how many dishwashers you got, an automatic washing machine, the guy's still taking out the garbage, right?
But no, but to your point, you're right. Are they going to come out, you know, 12 years later and say, "We've been doing this all wrong"? I don't think they're going to do it, which is why, you know, it's frustrating to me to listen to Mario Draghi come out and say, "It's getting worse, it's getting worse, it's getting worse, but we're going to cut rates, but just not right now." And the Bank of Japan, you know, they're already negative, and they say, "We stand ready if it gets worse." And what do you mean if it gets worse? All you do is tell us how bad it is. Our macro data is actually pretty good, and it's all positive, and, you know, PMIs are plus 50, which is expansionary, not contractionary, and manufacturing is better, and wages are rising, and unemployment is historic lows, yet we're cutting rates. It's just confusing to a lot of people.
I think those numbers are kind of phony, Kenny, especially the labor numbers, the unemployment versus the people that are checked out of the labor force.
Right.
But, right. Hey, I got a question for you. Do you know that guy, Kyle Bass, or were you listening to him last week?
No, I don't know him. I mean, I listen to him. I see him on TV, but I don't know him.
Well, the numbers he was winging out about Japan owning, like, you know, 75% of some of the ETFs and stuff, if that's all true, I knew it was bad.
True.
I didn't think it was that bad.
During the crisis. Yeah, that's true. That happened during the crisis. They initiated that, which is, you know, prompted that whole conversation last week, and I forget who did it. I think the guy from BlackRock, Rob Reiter, wrote that article in the Financial Times about how the Eurozone under Christine Lagarde should consider buying European equity, right, through ETFs.
Spoken like a guy who's
prop up that economy.
Spoken like a guy who probably has some to sell them.
Yep.
Kenny, thank you very much, buddy. Talk at you next week. At least I got you laughing. Good for you. S&P futures up, down 14. Nasdaq futures down 57. Kenny's always one of our best guys. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here.
Something happening here.
Hello, hope you're Stocks and Jacks. I'm tonight, Mr. Brennan Cornan, Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. S&P futures down on 1450. NASDAQ futures down 61. We got the Dow down 101. This got a couple earnings beats actually. So Merck is up 250. The company that was making oxycodone for the Nazis and is still making it for us. I like that. Why does that bother me, Brennan? But it sure as hell. Procter & Gamble up $5. Well, the other big news is beyond the meat. That was down $10 during the day yesterday. It's down another 28, so it's at 193. Straddle was like, it topped out at maybe $42, Brendan. And my instinct was, that's a lot, 20%.
Mm-hmm.
That if I had $90 billion, I probably would have sold it like one time because I don't naked sell anything for my clients or anything like that. But I suppose if it was Daddy Warbucks, just to do it, I would have done it like one time or something. But because I really thought $42 was a little excessive even for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out I was right by $12, but I think it was down more than this last night. So for a while, I was probably a loser. When the straddle is, for those, what we're talking about is that when you talk about option modeling, and Brandon, follow along here. If you don't understand something, let me know, and I'm sure everybody else doesn't. When you talk about option modeling, and you look at the Black-Scholes model or any number of other models, those models assume a continuous flow of information. Okay, that's why you have a log normal distribution. Well, they would call it a normal distribution, but it's really not. It's a log normal because it can't go below zero. But it looks kind of the same. So essentially, we know that with stocks and virtually everything, there's no such thing as a continuous distribution. Because this week is going to be a Fed week, so that's a more important piece of information Wednesday than, say, yesterday or on Friday. So now, last night, however, was earnings. So clearly, that comes out once a quarter. That doesn't come out every day. They don't drop a hint every day on earnings. Mm-hmm. You get one day they come out. So that's clearly not a continuous piece of information. That's a day at a time. We know when it is. So when you do option pricing, the prices reflect that. So yesterday, when you look at the straddle, so say the stock is $200. The combination of the 200 put, meaning the right to sell the stock at 200, and the 200 call, meaning the right to buy the stock at 200, say that's $20 or $10 or $5. The combination of those two prices gives you the market's prediction, essentially, on the plus and minus of how big the move is going to be after the earnings come out. And you'll see like a company like Telephone where the the straddle, they call it, the combination of the call and the put. There's two different strikes. It's called the strangle. Right, Brendan?
Okay.
But at the same strike, it's called the straddle. That gives you an indication of what... Now, the market could be right or could be wrong. It's amazing how often they're right, Manny. It's, or Manny, Brendan, where the straddle will be $15 and you'll see, you know, Google move like $15.50 or something. You're sitting there going, how do they know? But I mean, the market can be pretty bright at times. And, so that, but I mean, you'll see, telephone, the straddle might be $1.60, which is a pretty big move in telephone, right? But the earnings usually are fairly stable, fairly. All these words, usually. So obviously you might get a day where, you know, telephone moves $3 and you'd like to be long that. And generally, I would say like most option trading, if you did the entire earnings cycle, not all the companies, but say the top 100, generally I'd say, and again, this is not researched to any huge extent, if you had the wherewithal to sell every straddle 10 times, you probably come up with a few sleepless nights, and maybe it certainly probably wouldn't be worth it, but you probably come out ahead of the game, Brendan, mm-hmm. most of the time. But I'm going to say the last few earnings run throughs, this quarter, maybe last quarter, that you probably almost want to be long it every time, which is very rare. We've seen some huge moves. I mean, I think, for instance, Google was, or whatever, Alphabet, G-O-O-G, I'm going to say they were, straddle was 45 hours and moved 100. Amazon at one point was down, the first tick, it was down 100, and the straddle was nowhere near 100. It was 40, 50. So, I mean, if you were aggressive, I think you, and again, this just shows you how the market is being driven by kind of short-term stuff. I mean, and maybe the companies don't give as much information before the number comes out as before, so it's a bigger surprise to people. But whatever, I mean, I think this is one man's opinion. Plus, I'm not doing any of this for anybody, and wouldn't expect you to either. But what I try and do, Brendan, and this, I'll take it one step up here, I will mention this on the air, is I'll try and look at a calendar spread. And if it looks to me like the calendar spread would test out further than the straddle, then I'll do the calendar spread. Now, what did I just say?
I have no idea.
Well, say, for instance, stock XYZ is trading $30. Now, the 30 straddle this week is going to be really high, relatively high, because of the earnings, right? Now, next week, not as high, and the week after, not as high. So, if you say the straddle is, say, $4, if I can see a time spread buying the 30 calls next week, selling a 30 call this week, say, for 10 cents or 15 cents, because sometimes they get real cheap. Sometimes not, but sometimes they get real cheap. What I'll try and do is say, okay, the world thinks it's going to move $4. At 20 cents on the straddle, if I knock the volatility down next week, how much movement can I have in the stock and still get my 10 cents back? If the answer is over $4, then I think it's a good thing to do. Not always. I mean, I think it can open up. I mean, sometimes, you know, put on a 50 straddle and the earnings are good and the thing opens up the next day at 60 and you go, there's 10 cents. You know, just what you can lose and always lose it. But sometimes you go right to the strike and maybe you can sell it for, you know, whatever, 30, 40 cents. I mean,
Whole thing started with the Beyond Meat thing. How do you connect with your...
Well, what I'm saying, I didn't do the straddle yesterday, so I looked at the time spread, the calendar, and it was $6. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to pay for that either. But I'll bet if I had bought it, I probably got a small winner today. It's probably going to trade $7.50 because the stock didn't go to all 40.
Well, what do you think, though, is the reason for the Beyond Meat going down as much?
Because they got nothing. except catching a huge bunch of people short. Mm-hmm. The company had more, had a higher, what do you call it? Market cap than Under Armour and like 10 other places.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, they don't make a dime. And who even knows if this thing's gonna go? Or people are gonna like this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's your classic, caught everybody, you had to pay a lot to borrow it, you had to pay more to borrow it, all of a sudden you couldn't borrow it.
But isn't that what a lot of startups are? I mean, if you look at something like even Uber, it was in the same category. Yeah. Is this going to take off? You're kind of gambling that it will take off. And you know how many startups in the tech field have not made money for years and years, and they're still being bought for millions and billions of dollars.
Well, we have a Fed throwing money at the place, and we have a shortage of stocks because everybody's buying them in, buying them back. But so yeah, but I mean, but the. I guess where I'm going with this is it gets very complicated borrowing
I guess you've driven me into this, so I'm going to have to say something now that I started it. When you look at a stack like the Bien de Meat, okay, and you look at the calls, and then you look at the puts, and you say, wait a minute, the stack's 200 hours, the calls are 10 books, and the bucks and the puts are 30. Why would that be? They should be somewhat the same. Calls should be a little more, actually, because the interest is positive on the calls, negative on the puts. I don't want to get into that too much. But so that tells me instantly that I can't borrow the stock. Right? So
okay.
So when you sell stock short, you have to be able to borrow somebody to deliver it. So if Brandon comes in and buys 500 shares of Beyond the Meat, he doesn't know if he's buying up a short seller or anybody else. All Brandon knows is in 3 days he wants his stock.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if I short it, I better be able to find somebody to lend it to me to deliver it to you. And a lot of times these stocks, a lot of the stock is still held up by, I mean, you'll see IPOs come out, and what are they selling? 20% of the company?
Mm-hmm.
So the other is owned by the original investors, maybe, or maybe some hedge funds or somebody. They may decide not to lend it out, or they might have a caveat where they can't lend it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they got some sort of restrictive agreement. So it's not like going and selling the Spiders or Microsoft tomorrow. If you want to sell it, I can get you a locate in 5 minutes, five seconds. So you actually have to locate the short stock before you sell it. So all of a sudden, if you get caught where you're short, and all of a sudden you can't, you know, and then it costs you more and more to keep that short, then they finally say, you know what, you got to buy it in. So you can run these stocks just by screwing the hell out of the shorts. It's not every day, but guys gleefully will jump in. And now, why do you do that, Brandon? Well, because if you're the specialist or the market maker in there, you know, Brendan would be BRN. You're Brendan, and you're in the pit, and I come in and I say, I want to buy 20 puts or 100 puts or 5 puts. In any regular crowd, you're going to sell me the puts, and you're going to say if they're at the money, they're a 50 delta, right, or roughly.
Mm-hmm.
So you sell me 10 puts. So what's your next move? What's your hedge?
You're beyond my.
I'll think it through. Okay, I just bought the right to sell you the stock. Now you just picked up a 10 lot. You now are 500 deltas long in this stock. It's like you own 500 shares.
Mm-hmm.
That's not your game. Your game is buying on the offer, selling on the bid. So the first thing you do is turn around and I'm going to sell 500 shares of stock. Because now I'm delta neutral. Right?
Okay, I mean, you're way beyond what I'm...
Okay, well, take it from the other side. The other side's easier to... We all love GE. So stock's trading 10 bucks. Say we all love GE.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a market maker in GE and I run in and buy 500 calls from you and GE. So now you're short 500 calls, call options. The stock runs up, you're pretty much screwed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what do? You buy some stock.
Yeah. Okay.
Same thing on the other side. In order for you to get shorter, you got to sell some stock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is you can always buy it. You can't always sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody has a problem with somebody coming in and buying call options, and the person, I've never been once in a situation where you couldn't buy it. Maybe I couldn't buy it at the price you thought you could buy it. That's very possible. I thought I'd get it at 10:40. Loops, it's like 11:50. But you can still. There's no barrier to you buying it. Is what I'm saying. But there could be a barrier to you selling it. So now all of a sudden, market maker BRN. If I come in and I say I want to buy a 50 lot of puts in this Beyond the Meat, and you say I've got no hedge, well now you Brendan. I'm not going to say you might have a big account, but still, you're a little Brendan in terms of the market. You now have to say, okay, Chief, here's a price, 50 bucks, that I'm willing to sell you, you know, just as, because now I'm the insurance company, which you don't want to be. You want to be the market maker. But you're saying, if I can't sell this stock, can't get my hedge, well, you know what? I want 50 bucks, not 10 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you pick a number, right? Because now it's like, you know, life insurance, or it's like a collision insurance in a snowstorm. You know, I mean, but I'm saying that all this stuff is basic tenets to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you can hedge it off, you don't have to be the insurance company. If you can't, you are the insurance company. And you're going to want more money, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when you see this stuff, it's very interesting because sometimes the models work, sometimes they don't. So it's an odd world we live in. So what do you think about what Kenny was saying about the these guys will never change their policy?
I'm sorry. Say that.
We're saying like the central bankers are never going to come out and say we ooped up.
Oh, they're not. Why would they?
Well, because they did. They're taking us more down
the
rat hole.
Other than the truth,
yeah.
Why would they? Because it is it is undercutting their credibility and their knowledge base if they were constantly wrong or continue to be wrong. So do you double down, and what are the effects globally, not only in Europe or in the United States, but globally?
Well, we've seen in our lifetime presidents send people to die in a war they know we couldn't win.
That's right.
And we've seen people start wars without any idea of what we're going to do once we got there.
Right. Or how to get out.
And now we've got another group of people doing stuff with the economy and with the central bank and stuff. They don't know where it's going to land, and yet it becomes principal.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? We got to go to negative rates.
Well, I don't know that it becomes principal as much as it becomes, like you and Kenny said earlier, about ego.
Well, yeah. And now we have the other parallel thing. Is in 10 years, you're probably not going to be able to take money out of the bank because there's not going to be any cash.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about 10 years, but I don't think it'll be too much longer.
Right. At some point in the future, that'll be the case.
So these policies, if we allow people to do stuff like this and there's no out, I mean, look at the – have you ever seen in the last 10 or 15 years, maybe even longer than that, have you ever seen a greater outrage on both sides of the aisle towards anything like this currency that Facebook talked about?
It was pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like, let's just wait and see how this is going to play out. It was pretty quick to try to shut it down. But, you know, I think, as we were talking about last week, part of that, I think, is because of Facebook being involved and what kind of an entity Facebook has become and continues to become. And one of trust. Do you have trust in the currency, in this alternate form of currency, given that it's being put up by Facebook?
Well, I think some of our dumbest, when I say dumbest, they're not dumb because they have clearly a skill set that got them into office, which you and I clearly don't have, even if we wanted to be there. I mean, they're good at what they do, but the guy, I still can't believe the guy waving around a $20 bill saying it's good everywhere. Mm-hmm. Where's he coming from? Is he from Iowa or something? don't they realize that people are very concerned that everybody's looking at everything they do?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe there's going to be some sort of an alternative currency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether it's a, you know, offshore PayPal or someplace where if you do stuff through them, you just get PayPal credits versus PayPal debits, and that's how you transact business with people on a very narrow scale like that, where you don't have to constantly have credit cards or do this thing. I think you can just use one place to switch back and forth. I mean, we used to do that in this country in banks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Bonanza, I'm going to say other than the coins, which were precious metal, I think the paper dollars were scrit from the Virginia City Bank, weren't they?
Mm.
Before we had a Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
You didn't always have federal notes.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. And if you run the risk of screwing up your currency, I can't even believe that we would run that risk, Brandon. And yet we seem to have people that don't seem to care, or else don't know. I mean, the one thing we...
So which is worse, they don't care, they don't know?
That's a good question. You're the moralist of the two of us. let me ask you this.
I think it's worse if they don't care.
If... Say, for instance...
Because if they don't know, they can learn.
If you had a White House and or a Federal Reserve that puts out statements, or they have people go on the road and make speeches and that are incredibly market-moving, would you have them so ignorant that they don't realize they're market-moving, or would you rather have them trading ahead of it?
Again, I'd rather have them do it without knowing what they're doing, because they can be taught that, provided that their ego allows them to listen and gather the information. You can provide knowledge. You cannot as easily change the moral character of somebody who's doing something deliberate.
Well, but they, I'm not accusing the individual. I'm just saying the people who get that speech, for them not to be trade now, I'm stunned. I mean, how do you, I mean, you know, we have the million heroes of 9/11. We also had people that when the plane hit the building, sold spoos before they got out of their building. I mean, it's, I mean, you know, and somebody would say, why wouldn't I? I saw it. I was an observer. Why wouldn't I? You know, I don't know what the morals are to that. I think if you were long, you'd have covered at least. I mean, whether you go further than that, I don't know. Would you have hit the button? I don't know.
I wasn't in that situation, so I don't know. I would like to think that my life and the life of other people around me would be more important than pushing a button to affect the trade.
Well, I mean, if I had a bunch of clients that were long, I'd certainly hit the button to get them out. Now, whether I'd aggressively screw the next guy who didn't see it, you know, I don't know about that. I don't think I could do that. But I don't know if I'd like the Brendan Cornan account long 10 spoos as I fled out the door. I mean these are tough questions. But
they
are
tough questions.
But obviously the Fed is, I mean, right now in our lifetime and over the last 8 years of the market, they have been the market moving. The speeches in the middle of the night in China and those kinds of things, they have moved markets, they've turned markets constantly. It's always like the afternoon of the third day where somebody comes out and goes, ah, we'll do something. And what about this guy last week? The New York Fed guy who came out and said, we should be incredibly aggressive and preemptive. And then at the end of the day, he said he didn't mean it. I mean, how do you, if you're, and I don't like Trump's style of management necessarily. Brendan, if you and I are the two-headed monster in the Oval Office, there's no way my suggestion, maybe talked out of it by you as a cooler head, there's no way my suggestion is call that bleep and fire him. And I want to know who he gave the speech to, and I want to know anybody in that building who traded ahead of it, and they're getting fired too.
Yeah.
I mean,
they should.
They should. And I got it, but do you think anybody cares or does that stuff?
You know, we've been going down this path for a while now with potential interference, but I think under the current administration, it's much worse than it ever has been.
The guys are smarter that are in there, market-wise.
Who's smarter?
The people around them. They're not some dummies that don't realize the market's not moving.
Right, but I mean the interference of trying to, it's purely market manipulation. And you're right that I think there will be people trading on that, but you know what does it really mean? But even if you think that he's going to reverse course, you're going to trade on it in the meantime.
Oh, sure, and you'll be out in a second.
Yeah.
Well, but here's the, I don't, if you're the bank or somebody, and you like the Fed, they go out and they're gonna buy bonds, okay, and they're gonna pump up the money. By the way, they're running a 7.6% in the last 3 months increase. That's crisis level. And when yet, I don't see a crisis. But
well, we had the best economy ever.
Right. And so when you call the bank and you say, go out and buy me some stuff, if the bank front runs you, okay, it's actually helping you get to your goal. You want the market up. Right?
Right.
So if the bank didn't buy any stock ahead of you, it's almost like the guys in the Resolution Trust. We knew we were giving away the store. We just wanted to get it rolling. But it's always somebody giving away somebody else's money. And there's always somebody like you and I that are on the part that goes over the fence last. Why did somebody buy that stock that's down 5 hours? What did they know that I didn't? It's not sour grapes. I don't apologize for my upbringing or where I came from, and I don't think neither do you. The one thing I did learn on the trading floor, because there were people from all walks of life, not so much in the OEX pick, because everybody was in there together, no matter where you came from. There was one big scrum, which I loved. It was equal in that regard. But there were guys that, you hear rumors that, their dad went to, the same boarding school, which I didn't know what a boarding school was until I got the trading floor. Same boarding school as the guy who's a CEO of GM or IBM or someplace. Probably not GM because they're Detroit, more like IBM. Or telephone or someplace.
And they would, you know, they'd get the call in the morning, they'd get the numbers. And but their mind, that's why I spent 4 years at this crummy boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting my ass paddled, whatever I did to people back in those days. That's why I did that. Where you and I got to go to St. John Fisher down the block, play football at night, and enjoy ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, wherever kids growing up enjoy themselves. I mean, that's why I sucked it up and went to live with these idiots. You know, it, because it got me into a group that, that you know, they this information is theirs.
Yep.
It's all a matter of...
It's you know, the context and that or and where they were.
I don't know if you banged into that in law school or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's... I mean, it, clearly, if my dad has been a lawyer with the judge forever, I'm going to do better on that case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you and I don't normally run into that. Where are you from? Evergreen Park. Where the hell's that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like it's, whatever, some snooty suburb of you know, Connecticut or someplace.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're running... I don't think these guys even think that it's wrong for them to get the front on it. Well, that's what I, that's why I'm here.
Do you remember the movie Son of a Woman?
Yeah.
With Chris O'Donnell when he was in school. And the guys, all the rich kids were talking about going skiing over break. And he was worried about how he was going to make some extra money to help pay for his costs. And they're saying, well, we're going to Gstaad in Switzerland.
And going to where?
Gstaad. It's someplace, I guess it's someplace in Switzerland. It's a big famous ski place. And he says, what the hell is that?
I didn't know where it was.
I didn't know where it was either. But it was, you know, it's just what you're talking about, that it's a different world and different.
We put six people in a car and drove to Steamboat. Is that the same thing?
Well, you were just going for the Coors Light.
We were just, actually, Coors. I like the Olympia better in those days before somebody bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probability, is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. I don't know where Jeff is today, but I'm sure he'll be back next week. We're still stuck on this down 1350. The S&P futures, NASDAQ down 55. Again, the earnings numbers, Procter & Gamble up $5, so they had positive earnings. Merck up 280. And we have if you're involved, and Beyond the Meat down 29.50. 192.65. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, Nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Brennan Cornan. It's Jack Silverman on the board. God, Brennan, I'm getting to be such a curmudgeon over here. U.S. personal income rose 0.4% in June as expected. I almost want to know, give me the mean number, give me the medium number, how much is it, what's the distribution? I just, whenever I see a number now, I just want to know more. And, I'm not so sure that's all that good for your psyche. By the way, you're beyond the meat as, down 33.66. It might get to that $40 straddler the way it's leaking. SP futures down 13.50 and NASDAQ futures down 56. Got the Dow down 85, was down 100, but now it's 85. So over in Europe, we've got the, odd thing here, we got the, well, the DAX down 239. That's 1.9%. FTSE down 5. That's, call that flat. CAC around down 74, 1.3%. But somehow the FTSE's hanging in there a little bit. Asia, these guys, they all closed before Trump's tweet regarding Chinese are not buying as much, grain as they were supposed to, so he has no hope for these talks, even though he just sent people over there like yesterday. Nikkei up 92.4%. Shanghai up 11.4%. Hang Seng up 40.1%. Oil up again, 46 cents, 57.33. Can't seem to get to that 60 number. We'll see. Maybe this time it will. Brent up 61 cents, 64.32. We got gold up 8.50, 14.28. Silver up 6 cents, 16.50. Copper minus 2 cents, 2.69. And we'll give a quick number. The 10-year yield is up, well, it's up 0.001 to 2.056. So it's down from the 212 it got to, but it's hanging over 2%. It was down below that for a while. What we're talking about, the negative interest rate, the 10-year bund, minus 0.4%. Japanese 10-year down minus 0.16%. UK is 0.64, so they're still above zero. Jack, what do you got for us? Trevi Weather Sports.
Good morning once again. 7:36 in the morning. For traffic today, we do have a lot of heavy traffic on all the area expressways. The Eisenhower, Stevenson, Edens, and Kennedy are all backed up heavily. There is a new crash on the Edens west before Toohey Ave. The previous crash on the Eisenhower did get cleared up. And we do have Lollapalooza set up. That does start this Thursday through Sunday. And there are supposed to be closures throughout the city until Monday night. In weather today, Chicago is going to be a beautiful day, 71 partly cloudy with a high of 74 and sunshine. In Phoenix, 90 degrees, partly cloudy with a high of 105 and sunshine. In sports last night, not too much went on. Both Chicago teams were off. Chicago resumes play today in St. Louis. It's a 7:15 Chicago time first pitch. The winner of this series, the three-game series, winner of this series controls first place in the division. The White Sox host the Mets. 7:10 Chicago time first pitch. Good news for the White Sox is that new Mets acquisition Marcus Stroman is not expected to make his debut against the White Sox. And the Diamondbacks were on last night. They were in Miami where they lost 11-6 to the Marlins. Chief.
So, Jack, if you were pitching, say, the other day, and you have hopes for, like, having a good day, and you pitch 15 pitches, you get hammered, you get yanked without so much as an out, and that night you're sleeping in the AAA town, do you think that that's the way you expected your day to end?
Not after that, when you've had the up-and-down season. But you thought he was on an upswing.
Thought he was on an upswing, and then all of a sudden, oops.
I mean, when you throw 15 pitches, give up 5 runs, can't record an out, and you're not, like, a massive name, you can't expect things to go well for you after that.
No, it's just the idea, you wouldn't expect to be sent down like that day, but
to cut through a business.
Yeah, it's
Well, you know, in Covey's case, it's not like that was one bad outing. He's had a couple of really bad outings lately. And I think he was definitely on the bubble of being sent down before the start. But when he got 15 pitches, 14 pitches, and 5 runs, he needed to work on something, either mentally or physically. And the only place he was going to be able to do that is down in the minors.
No, he's a 27-year-old who has a negative WAR. This year he is 1-7 with a 6.99 ERA.
What's a WAR?
Wins above replacement.
What does that even mean?
When you compare him versus another pitcher, he's responsible for more wins than his comparable would be.
And who decides these statistics?
Sabermetrics.
Yeah, it's all an algorithm. And just to give like an example,
what if I don't like the algorithm? I've never looked at it.
Then you're a Luddite.
All right. Well, I know that.
I am, too. I mean, I have no idea how the algorithm works. And, I mean, all the statistics that I've got lately are, in many cases, way beyond me. But it's supposed to show...
It might be beyond them, too. That's the point.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is just making up stuff. But
well, I mean, like all these new statistics would tell me, you mean he's a tough out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's hard to communicate that. I mean, mm-hmm. I can see where they definitely... come across it, but the you've been watching the Cubs lately. I mean, Joe Maddon, is something wrong with him? I mean, the other night he made like 5 pitching changes. If he puts you in there and if you give up a hit, even if it's a cheapie, he comes out and gets you. Is he a nervous wreck? Is he drinking espresso in his cup or what?
I think there's a lot more pressure on him to get to and win the World Series this year, and there's still no talk about an extension of his contract. His contract expires at the end of this year, and there's no indication that they're going to extend him.
I'm sorry, Theo. You put that team up against the Yankees, the Dodgers, or Houston,
or even Boston.
They don't. They're a couple of people short, and they went. They got nobody in the offseason.
And they've also depleted their minor leagues.
Yeah, and some of the best players in baseball are former Cub players playing other places.
Mm-hmm.
And,
But that was a gamble. I mean, he knew that, and he won. 2016 was the reward for trading all those players.
But we're talking now. I mean, Manny and I go round and round on this, but the weakness I see in the team, even and you can badmouth your bullpen all you want, but when you score 2 runs in the first or second inning, and you sort of get on somebody, and then you lose 3-2 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
You can bitch about your bullpen letting it go in the 10th. You can also say, what do the rest of you jumokes do for 8 innings?
That's right. And why did you stop hitting after the second inning?
I honestly believe that one of the biggest screw-ups on the Cubs, and of course the sabermetric guys think I'm nuts. Last year where I used to watch, the Triple E Tap is a Boston bar. So whenever you go in there, if the Cubs are on, there's going to be the Boston game someplace. Boston had guys in the first 2 spots in the batting order, they could get on. I'm not saying they were Maury Wills, but they were good enough guys to on the base pass to where they would sort of bother the pitcher, make him throw a few more fastballs than he maybe would have liked, and could steal a base once in a while. They could manufacture a run. The Cubs have zero ability to do that. They were not. So there's no chance ever of having that 2 or 3 run lead, and all of a sudden in the 6th inning, somebody gets a walk, steals second. Somebody bounces one to second. Somebody hits a fly ball. And you don't have a hit, and you got to run. And the pitcher's scratching his head.
Mm-hmm.
They have no ability to do that. They're total station to station baseball.
Yep, they live and die by the home runs.
And when the Sox, when they won the World Series, were that sort of a team
And yet the 1 year they had Pecetic on there and had some people on the bases, mm-hmm. had a little bit different of a look, they won the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to have to get three hits to score or get a home run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever. I mean, I think that they, the Theo Epstein's inability to replace the leadoff hitter, Fowler, mm-hmm. has been a problem for 2 years
now. It has been.
But there aren't very many. Like, Matt's right. Look around baseball. There's 30 teams?
Mm-hmm.
Name me five leadoff hitters that are good.
Yeah. It's a very hard position, especially in the way that baseball has developed now, where it's all or nothing. You see, you don't see the guys who would lay down a bunt in the second inning, leading off the second inning to start an inning and then steal a base.
And I see Rizzo the other night for a while. These guys came off the All-Star break. They must have all had some kind of a practice or a mindset where they were going to go the other way against the shift.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they've stopped all that again. When the pressure starts, they start losing. Mm-hmm. They go back to their same swinging for the home run. Rizzo, they hit all the entire infield was to the right of second base.
Mm-hmm.
And no attempt to go the other way. We would have bunt or anything. I mean, good Lord.
I know.
I mean, you can't let everybody stand. It's like in basketball, what if all five defenders stood on one side of the basket? I think you should go the other way.
You think? And you would hope that by the time you get to the major leagues that you could have a little bit of placement, better back control to go the other way if there's nobody over there.
Right.
Or even if there's one guy between second and third, because you're typically a left-handed pull hitter, that every now and then you should be able to go the other way.
Well, I think it's hard for righties to do that. I mean, even in softball, when you went to right field, you went for the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's hard, and plus you're not as fast to first base.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tough for you to tap one to the second base hole for a hit. I mean, you mm-hmm. can do it to remove a runner. But for a lefty, I got to believe to drag one to the left field side when you're is got to be something you can learn.
Yeah.
But, hey, you asked a question on a break. We should bring – Brennan asked a question, which, you know, on break you shouldn't talk on radio, but we do. You're always supposed to save it for the air.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, you mentioned, like, this guy, Coates, leaving, who was very well respected. And evidently all he did was fight with Trump on NSA policy. And now they got some new guy coming in that, you know, all I remember of him is he was defending Trump's allegedly racist comments against the guy from Baltimore. Okay.
No, he was on the attack against Mueller last week in the Mueller report.
Okay.
But you know, he was first elected to Congress in 2014. He was a mayor of a small town, even smaller than South Bend in West Texas. He was a prosecutor earlier in his career, but he doesn't have a lot. He is on the Intelligence Committee, but only recently, and doesn't have a lot of experience in international affairs or in the intelligence community. So my question was, how does the market react or respond to somebody like that in that position, given how sensitive that is for our government, our country, and international affairs, and how is that factored in when somebody like that is appointed?
And the answer is probably not at all, like today. If you start to get, well, we've had how many people leave. So, but the market does nothing but go up. And mm-hmm. the VIX level is down. So, but the market is, in my 30-some years of doing this, Brennan, it's, the market can be very asleep on something, and all of a sudden something takes center stage.
Mm-hmm.
And why it happens on that day versus another day, I mean, that's been my, It's like me chasing the Holy Grail or the Fountain of Youth. I mean, it's like, I mean, why did, you know, the rally in 1982 starting on August, whatever the hell it was, 10th or 12th, and not August 1st or July 10th or September 10th? I mean, the question might be, okay, this guy's leaving, he was confident, he's gone. I'm going to say Tillerson. I thought he was pretty confident, and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people that continually, who was the direct economic guy? He left, he's gone. He didn't agree.
Gary Cohn?
Yeah. But there's people that just, that all of a sudden are gone, and it appears to really anybody that the real resume for the next guy has to be somebody who will defend the president and spout the party line.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody really care about the NSA guy? Maybe you should, but I don't know if it hits the market. Now, what I mentioned to you on break, if all of a sudden
Mnuchin comes back from China and says, hey, you sent my ass over there, and then you cut my legs off today by the tweet, and I'm stuck in China eating food I don't even like, and you're telling everybody I'm wasting my time over here. Hey, you know, screw you. I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say that's a market mover.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But now,
does it matter who replaces him?
Yeah, but yes. I mean, if the next guy is considered to be competent, it certainly will help the situation. But if all of a sudden it becomes this, anybody who has a brain cell working is flying out the front door, then all of a sudden you're going to see every paper left and right. It'll just be Trump White House imploding,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you'll see both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So as to why it's the 10th person at left versus the 9th versus the 11th, that's the elusive part of the market that I keep struggling to find, Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to say right
which
now,
is the straw that breaks the camel's back.
My guess would be right now would be Mnuchin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I doubt if it'd be Larry Kudlow, and I don't think it'll be Navarro. You know, I don't think people care if he left. Most
mm-hmm.
people, but right now, I think Mnuchin's holding the market piece together.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
that's
both Navarro
one, that's
and Kudlow have really taken a back seat lately. You don't hear or see very much of them or their statements.
Oh, Kudlow's still the liar in the driveway. He comes out and talks about how, you know, the guy who couldn't stand tariffs and how good
mm-hmm.
they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Trump comes up and he'll actually say we're making a fortune on tariffs, that the Chinese people are paying the tariffs. Well,
mm-hmm.
God, if you tell a lie often enough, I mean, I guess
well, that's the hope. That's the hope that if I say it loud enough and long enough and often enough, it'll be believed.
Well, I mentioned to we had some time yesterday, and I was interviewing our man Jack. And by the way, Jack did very well. I was mentioning to him, you know, what about you know, you hear the president come out and say constantly, lowest unemployment rate, more jobs, way better than this, way better than that. I mean, I said, does anybody, you know, that you go to school with, not anybody, because it's a big place, 35,000 people, University of Indiana, does anybody dumb enough like me to immediately check the stats and find out if anybody's lying? And he goes, well, there's probably are some guys, I'm talking for you, Jack, but not... You know, you're going to class, you're doing your stuff, you don't do it in an every... So I just dug back a little bit in the employment number. Trump's 3.5 years, 5.5 million people have been employed. Now, a lot of people have entered the workforce, and that's probably, I'm going to say, sort of matches the number, I have to go back and look at this or talk to Carl, of people entering the workforce. So it's kind of a benign number. It's certainly not bad, but it's not, you know, it's not spectacular either. It's okay. In the last 4 years of Obama's term, now granted we were coming out of a recession, 9 million people got a job.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I understand there's extenuating circumstances, and I would say that to keep it going at this point is more of a challenge than Obama had early on in his thing when we had all kinds of people that were off and coming back on the labor force. But I mean, I would not, if I'm in that position, you know, trumpet like a trumpeter goose, you know, constantly how much better was... I mean, if he says it 1,000 times, am I supposed to believe it? I'm looking right at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it a bad job? No, it's not. Is it after this year long of an expansion to still have people going back to work? Is that something good? Yeah. But why does it have to always be an extreme?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. It's well, okay. It's good. But what more do you want?
Well, that's his nature.
We're up to $71 billion now in tariff tax revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now what the I get a little. Here's the definition: customs duty is a tariff or tax imposed on goods when transported into the U.S. and is paid by the importer of record. It doesn't say paid for by the Chinese guy who shipped it here
or the Chinese government.
Yeah, it says importer of record, who passes it along to varying degrees to you and me and the listeners. But now. He's absolutely convinced that the $71 billion that he's getting it from China, and these are great numbers. That's just another tax we're adding on.
Mm-hmm.
Just another tax. And under the all kinds of taxes we have. Now, the number I haven't been able to find, Brendan, is maybe I can talk Carl into doing this for me. The number I haven't been able to find is what is the difference between this tariff tax revenue number and what it would have been before any of the stuff he did. Because
mm-hmm.
it clearly wasn't zero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've always had tariffs. By the way, you know, have you ever kind of mentioned that to somebody in a political discussion regarding the tariffs?
No, I haven't.
I have, which maybe just to piss people off. I don't know why, but it's a nice way of pissing people off because it shows sometimes how lame their argument is. But they'll say, you know, we got all these tariffs and people are doing to us and blah, 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 blah. And I'll say, so we don't have any tariffs. Mm-hmm. Well, no, we don't. I don't think so. Why? Do we? You know, so the conversation goes, well, we've had a sugar tariff for what? How many years? 80, 100, 50? I said, if we didn't, if we have a sugar tariff, there would be no sugar manufacturer or growers in the U.S. Right? I mean, we have no advantage. We have zero advantage there. I mean, I guess there's some sugar beet stuff up in Minnesota, but by and large.
Right, there's not a lot.
Not a lot. I mean, do you think we would have, if there wasn't a tariff on wood products from Canada, that we would ever be able to buy a 2x4 that was manufactured in this country, manufactured, mm-hmm. grown and harvested in this country versus Canada? Oh man, really? What I don't like about the man is he plays on people that either don't know how to look up the stuff or don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And, it absolutely is effective. I'll say that. I mean, look, the guy's the president. Yeah, it's effective.
Yeah. And he's got a lot of support among a certain.
Yeah. Among people who don't necessarily want to go look at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, in a lot of ways, a lot of stuff he says is absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And other people have been afraid to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's not like it's all bad. I mean, I'm not. But, you know, the thing that I'm starting to be very concerned about, Brendan, is, I don't know, we got off of this political subject, is he hasn't been any more effective at affecting change in any of these areas than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he came in with, I'm gonna beat Boeing with a broomstick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet, Boeing was the major benefactor of government largesse, basically, in the country.
Yep.
We couldn't get rid of the import-export bank, which helps Boeing.
Mm-hmm.
We had to give them the tanker contract because they kept losing out on every bid. We just gave them $14 billion to rehab B-52s. I mean, who's going to watch that contract?
Mm-hmm.
We've done nothing on prescription drug prices. In fact, they're probably going up faster than they were before.
They are going up faster.
And we haven't done anything on keeping stuff generic to generic. That whole area he's basically thrown up his hands on.
Mm-hmm.
So
ignore it.
Yeah, the stuff that you and I care about and the people that we know and our listeners care about, there's been absolutely no progress whatsoever in his. I mean, there's been some regulation pullbacks in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's helped our business by getting rid of that ridiculous fiduciary thing coming out of the Labor Department.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not like it's all been horrible, but these things are just not only could Obama, who is allegedly a not corrupted guy in Washington, unable to do anything like this. In fact, he made it worse by Obamacare. And this guy totally from the outside, pretty much. Whoever they're fighting against, they must be so strong, Brendan. I mean, it's why Merck is still doing oxycodone that they were doing for Hitler in 44.
Well, I think your example of Boeing, for example, another largesse going to Boeing, it goes back to the question of too big to fail. I mean,
yeah.
We heard that at the time of the financial crisis back in 2008. But really, the only alternative in the world to Boeing is Airbus.
Well, commercially.
Commercially, yeah.
And Lockheed, somewhat of a competitor on this end in terms of military jets.
Yeah, but that's minor. They don't have the capacity to do what Boeing has.
Right.
Done.
Well, but I'm saying, but you do have. I mean, I'm just trying to be somewhat rigorous here.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, but there is a reasonable amount of competition in like some of the plain software systems. I mean, Honeywell, Raytheon. There's people involved in all of that.
But those are also, a lot of those are also subcontractors to Boeing.
Right, but I'm saying if you go out for a flight system or landing craft system, even in a Boeing plane, if it's a U.S., you know, if it's an F-35 or something, there's competition in some parts of. It's not like it's all. I guess what I'm saying is I want to beat up on Boeing. I just don't want to be unfair.
Mm-hmm.
There is some competition in some of the areas, even in a plane they're building.
Right, but there is not enough competition to make it real competition.
Well, there's no reason for them to have bought McDonnell Douglas.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure there is, to get bigger.
To get bigger.
And for market share.
Well, they really should be able to buy Airbus because, you know, they might have a manufacturer on the dark side of the moon we don't know about, and they got to be able to compete with them, right?
Yeah. Yep. But theoretically, you're right. I mean, theoretically, there is competition out there, but in practicality, there's not. There are two plane makers in the world,
right.
Airbus and
commercial
Boeing.
Plane. And how hard do you think they're really trying to compete?
Not very much at all.
No.
Because if they were really trying to compete, prices would be coming down. Not
well, you're not going to compete on price. Now you're showing a somewhat of a sophomoric view of economics, which I, by the way, have the same view you do. If that's how you're supposed. No, we're competing at the Paris Air Show with shrimp cocktails and drinks and things like that. We're not comparing. We're not actually competing. We're not going to lower the price of my. Of course, what do you think it would cost?
But that's true competition.
Yeah. What do you think it would cost?
Competition would be that I have a product that's just as good as yours or better. And what's the market price? What is the market willing to pay if we're really competing? Not whether I can still get more money.
I use the term compete. It's not the way you're using it. I'll bet that they compete pretty heavily to keep, we only got 30 seconds, Southwest Air all 737.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, when you would think, why doesn't 737 go buy, 15 used Airbuses? They're not going to do it. The pilots can't fly it. The mechanics can't fix it. So they probably have given Southwest Air a decent price, I won't say competitive, over the years just to capture them. You think?
Possibly, but that's also a business decision and a business model by Southwest to do that without
SP Futures down 17 now, Brennan. We got a dash. NASDAQ Futures down 69. We're leaking even more. It looks like a bad day going to this Fed agreement or Fed meeting. See what happens tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.